Name. As Marvin said, it is good to be back here again with the rest of the church body. Recently, I've been thinking about wonder and the impact that has on the Christian life. And so these thoughts this morning will reflect some of what I've been thinking about recently. God has given each one of us a capacity to wonder, or we could say to worship. And I think we especially see this evident in young children, for whom nothing more is needed than a little toy to stir their imagination and to light their eyes up. Through the child's eye, the world is new, exciting, and awe-inspiring. And unfortunately, as we grow out of childhood and reach adulthood, this capacity to wonder is often, we often lose that. We lose that sense of wonder for life and for spiritual truths. I think it's easy for our spiritual senses to become dull, especially with as we begin to buy into the system of the world. Spiritual realities seem less and less real. Friday evening, Andrew and I were talking with a couple who had spent 16 years in Mexico translating the Bible for an indigenous Indian group down there. And they were lamenting how Americans would come down to visit them, and this couple would be relating experiences that they've had with oppression, demon oppression, and these Americans either had a hard time believing it or simply refused to believe that something like that, that demons exist. And in our age, in our American, Western American culture, we have all around us a naturalistic ideology being promoted through the sciences, and I think, whether we like to admit it or not, we have slowly become dull to spiritual realities. I think one of the outworkings of this is that cynicism replaces an honest pursuit of truth, and we become reactionary instead of thankful. During this Christmas season, I see in myself the same tendency. And it's really ironic because I react to the commercialism and the affluence that I see in the culture around me and the lack of worship that there is for Christ, and I become cynical. And I forget about Christ myself. And admittedly, a lot of it, at least some of it, is understandable. However, cynicism, I believe, is often an incorrect response to a legitimate concern. In Romans 12, Paul tells us that we are not to be like the world around us. Rather, we are to be renewed in our minds. He doesn't say we are to become cynical and withdraw. He says we're to become renewed in our minds. And in 1 Peter 2, Peter admonishes us, he tells us that we are a chosen people. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, and that we are to be separate from the world, but not cynical. My question to you and to myself is, how are we doing as individuals and as a church? Are the things that we're reacting to, are the ways that we're buying into the system of the world? Second, not only is it easy to become cynical, I believe it is also easy to allow busyness to replace personal reflection and meditation. And even as we're transitioning out of the Christmas season, I believe this is a battle that we face the entire year. As I heard someone say recently, it's not that we're more busy during the Christmas season, it's just that it's a different kind of busyness. My wife recently told me about a book that she had been reading called The Shallows. I believe Arlen had referenced it in one of his talks on technology. And in this book, this non-Christian author was bemoaning the great negligence with which personal meditation was being treated by Western culture. And this is indeed sobering, especially when we find it in our own lives as Christians. However, in Jesus' life, his life was not only one of intense ministry, but also involved times of solitude and prayer. The Gospels are sprinkled with instances where it specifically mentions that Christ took time alone to go and spend time with God, with his Father. And it's interesting to note that this did not start in the garden when he was in an intense anguish, but it was a habit cultivated throughout his entire life. Yet how easy it is for us to starve ourselves spiritually until we finally wake up and cry out to God. Are you giving time for personal reflection and meditation? How is your relationship with God? Are you spending time with him? Though quite unintuitive, it is really the spiritual disciplines that create and cultivate in us an awe and wonder for our Lord. Lastly, I'd like to talk about something that I think is probably more prevalent in young people, but I think it can apply to all of us. We have this desire for excitement, and I think that can often take away wonder for who God is. Some of us have a condition that where it is difficult for us to for an extended period of time remain focused on a single task. We call that attention deficit disorder, ADD. And just this past week, I was lamenting to my wife, actually I guess it was 2 weeks ago, that this might be more prevalent in my own life than I had previously thought. Much more troubling, however, is my tendency, excuse me, to be ADD, quote ADD, in my spiritual life. That is, reaching for new ideas, new novel ideas, and forgetting the reality of Christ and what he's done for me. Truth is often clothed not in novelty but in normality, and I think we see this especially in the life of Christ. 2,000 years ago, when God sent down his Son to earth wrapped in flesh as a baby, and besides a group of ragged shepherds and a handful of curious wise men, the world was completely oblivious to what was going on. See, Jesus could have come as an Alexander the Great, taking the world by storm, but he didn't. Instead, he came as a weak and helpless baby. He could have come as a highly cultured and sophisticated Roman nobleman, but he didn't. He came to lowly Jewish parents who, because of his birth, were accused of a sex scandal. And throughout Jesus' ministry here on earth, he poured almost all of his energy into 12 disciples. And it was these 12 disciples who walked with Jesus on the dusty roads of Palestine for 3 years with God incarnate. They ate and talked with him who had created everything, including themselves. It was in him that they lived and moved and had their being. And yet, in Matthew 18, we see Jesus needing to rebuke the disciples because they forgot who he was. And they begin to argue about which one of them was the greatest. How completely absurd is that? The disciples, who were in the presence of God himself, forgot who he was. They became so used to being with Jesus, they forgot the truth of who he was. Yet how often do we do the same thing? We forget what we've been given. I recall a story that Daryl Bontrager told about an experience that they had in Turkey. They went out to make contacts among Muslim Turks, and they were talking with this one man, telling him about the gospel. And when they got finished, he was completely floored. He was amazed. He had never heard this before. And so he asked one person in the group, "So, how long have you known about this?" And the person kind of is startled and says, "Well, since a child, I've always had this. I've always known this." And he just about didn't believe them, so he asked another person who responded very similarly. We have the blessing of Christ dwelling in us. We have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. As Charles Spurgeon once said, "We share the honor of Christ, and compared with this, earthly splendors are not worth a thought. Communion with Jesus is a richer gem than ever glittered in imperial diadem. Union with the Lord is a coronet of beauty, outshining all the blaze of imperial pomp." And yet, don't we often forget what we've been given and stop marveling at who Christ is? Truth does not change. And I'm afraid often we become bored with it, with normality, with the normality of truth. A number of months ago, I was at work in a safety meeting where I heard an interesting comment that stuck with me. The safety instructor was saying how so many people don't like the idea of safety because, well, it's boring. Nothing ever changes. I found that interesting. It's when we see it as boring that we take it for granted. And until something changes, until something goes wrong, we take it for granted. And many times, I'm afraid, we become bored with that which will never change, with the eternal truth that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where is your focus this morning? Are you still captivated by the wonder of the incarnation, of God becoming human flesh and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, or has it begun to wear off on you? If there is anything in the way between a vibrant relationship with you and Christ this morning, I invite you to spend about a minute talking with him, and afterward I will close in prayer. And the truth of who you are in your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to come down, suffer on a cruel cross, and to right our relationship with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are dwelling in us, that you witness to us. We pray that you would continue being with us this morning, that you would guide our thinking and our actions, and that you would help us to see who you are in a fresh way, and in a way that, I guess in a fresh way and yet an old way. Help us to see truth as being constant, and as being incredible. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.